world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, first of all, I'm kind of tied in knots here. Spencer, did I send you links this morning? I'm looking on it. You got links? I'm trying to find out where the heck they are. I got up early this morning. By the way, before I get too far, y'all blessed Michelle beyond what you ever know. And with the cards and I told you guys to send a dollar, and some of you sent more than a dollar. And no, we're not claiming it from the IRS. It's benevolence. She's allowed to have it. And Michelle doesn't even know how to get in the show. And here she comes. Okay, she wants to. She hadn't brushed her hair this morning. She hasn't put on her makeup this morning, so she doesn't want to be seen. So Spencer, can you turn my mic, turn my camera off so they can hear her a second, will you? Will you do that for me?
I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah, they can hear. Go
I'm
ahead.
In my pajamas. Hi. Good morning.
Well, I don't know. Go ahead. See, you got clothes on. It's messing up the green screen.
Oh.
So they can't see anyone. Go ahead and talk.
All right. I just want to thank everybody for all your wonderful cards and your greetings from Facebook and the phone. I really, really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. It was so much fun just looking at everything and knowing that that you wished me happy birthday made me feel really, really special as I go into my 70th year. My parents were supposed to be 70.
And I told her she didn't have to send a thank you note to all of you, so she's giving you a thank you now.
I got my dollars. I got some money to buy some lattes.
Yeah, and she saved me a few bucks, huh? So she got some bucks. Appreciate all of you sending in there. Look, folks, I'm going to tell you something. What this girl goes through... Because being married to me ain't—it's almost like a sentence. You know, we got
Boom.
Married as a partnership, but it was a sentence. She got sentenced to me.
All right, love you all. Thank you.
She's
Michelle.
They love you. Yeah, Michelle, they're saying they all love you. We all know that. All right. Where am I? Listen, before I dive in, I got to look. Can I tell you the truth? I don't always tell you the truth. I try to tell you the truth. Scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I just want to stop there.
Yes.
What does that mean? Don't answer. This is a rhetorical question. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do we understand what that means? Have you ever, more than once in your life, been in a worship service where you were actually trained in how to resist the devil and he'll flee from you, the Bible says? And you understand that where we find ourselves today in the good old US of A, if Christians don't understand it to be a spiritual war, we are going to try to vote and elect our way out of this. And it didn't go to work. It didn't go to work. And if I were to ask you right now, who would be, you don't have to give me an answer, just I want you to think here a minute. Who is the prime Christian in America leading the cultural war? Can somebody name one for me? Billy Scam? I'm sorry, Franklin Scam? No, not him. Huh? Who? Well, thanks, Beth. Not me. I mean, thanks, but no. Good. Come on, somebody on the national stage leading a spiritual war against the forces of darkness. Can you name one? No. And we all know what? That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. We're not going to vote our way out of this. We're not going to vote our way out of what's going on in Minneapolis. The lies and the deception, the media purposefully lying, the media have already picked a side. Hey, friends, it's spiritual. It ain't political. The media is representing the dark side. They're representing the dark side. And the church doesn't get it. The church doesn't get it. In fact, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that up there in Minneapolis, the devil's team walked right in the front door of the church. And the church didn't even know what to do. Somebody say amen. That'd be a good amen. They are so brazen. The devil's team is so brazen that they did physically what they've been doing spiritually for who knows how long. They came in and they took over and they said to the church, get out of here. Get out of here. And what did the church do? Oh, please, please leave us alone. No wonder, but wouldn't six men in the back of the church got up and knocked the teeth out of those purple-haired women that came in there, those demonic, oh, no, because that wouldn't be very Christ-like, would it? Would it? Let me ask you this. Why is there no fear of God? Why when those demonically possessed and oppressed people come into the church house, why is there no opposition? Why is it all just love, love, love? Where were the men of God that stood up at that door and said, get the hell out of here! And grab them by the hair and drag them out of there! Oh, no, that wouldn't be very Christ-like because we're going to get them saved. But you're not going to get them saved because they're demonically possessed and oppressed and the church doesn't get it. I couldn't hardly sleep last night. Couldn't hardly sleep. Where do I start here? Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. So hang on. Anybody busting with something you want to say right now? Huh? Go ahead if you got to. Let me get my poker poking here. Nobody want. Okay, no raised hand. Yeah, P.S. Come on in, P.S.
Biggest error of the church is we've always looking for a head figure to do the job and not us.
Yeah, that's right. You don't send a boy to do a man's job. We got sissified men sitting in the pew. Now, some of them are mad and they'd like to push back, but they've been taught to calm it down, love them with the love of Jesus and blah, 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 blah. Because we don't understand the spiritual war that we find ourselves in. We have demons. David Arthur could attest to this. We have demons coming in the church, making homosexuality Christian, and ain't no pushback. There ain't no pushback. See, here's what should happen. City of Newark, I'm picking a town. 10 churches on every corner. And one of them across the street, the Methodist Church probably, all of a sudden began to open and ordain homosexuals. You might think I'm crazy. Shouldn't the other 6 churches on the corner come over and close that freaking place down? Yes or no? Or at least say, take your name. Hey, take Christianity off of that thing. Take Christianity off of that thing. And then we show up. Talking about whatever we is. We show up outside the church and we hold signs and we march and we protest and our own team is mad at us. Look what's going on. Look what's going on in Minneapolis. Who's the church mad at? They're mad at the government. They're mad at the government for trying to stop these people who are stealing money from us. They're mad at the government. Now look, I get it. No kings. I don't want an all-powerful government. I want the government to follow the law. I sure as hell do. But how the hell, pardon me, does the government follow the law when dealing with the lawless? Why does only one side have to play by the rules? By the way, the rules the other team works with. What would it be like to be a football coach You worked all week and you practiced with your team and you go out on the football field and the other team, you have to play within the sidelines, 53.5 yards, that the sidelines. But the other team, what? They're allowed to take the ball and run out of bounds. And they're allowed to run behind the band and then come out on the 20-yard line and then run in end zone. And they're allowed to throw the ball sideways. They're playing by a whole different set of rules when we're sitting over there getting our asses beat because we play by the rules. We play by. Are you anybody feeling me today? It's unbelievable the times at which, because the average Christian church and pastor does not understand this to be a spiritual war. And if the leadership, the pastor, doesn't understand it's a spiritual war, chances are pretty good the sheep sitting in the slaughter bin, they ain't going to get it either. They ain't going to get it either. So it's unbelievable. Point number four. Say, Coach, you spend all your time bashing pastors. Well, what am I supposed to do? They're our team. They're our leaders. Cleveland Browns just hired a new coach. This is crazy. You ready for this one? Cleveland Browns fired their coach. And New York, I think it was, hired him. So the Browns fired their coach. They fired him because he wasn't any good. And I think it was the Giants. So help me out. They hired him. Now the Browns bring in another coach to try to coach the Browns. And, hey, it ain't the coach. It's what the coach is teaching the players.
I thought you were going to get the Cleveland job. Yeah.
I ran into John Gruden this weekend, and I said, he don't know me from Adam. John Gruden, he's a professional football, has been. And he's from Sandusky, Ohio. And he was at that where Ohio Bread had that event for us down. And I went up to him and said, hey, Coach, you gonna be the Browns coach? I'm willing to help you. Let's go straighten the Browns out. And he looked at me with a deadpan look. Anyway. Yeah,
I was going to send you a whistle and a red flag just to get you prepared.
Don't get me off target here. Huh? Don't get me off target. What are the seven princes of hell? Bible says that we run. Wait a minute, Coach. Is that where you want me to start? No. Start in Hebrews 11. I'm sorry. I'm seeing so disorganized. I'm really not. Okay. Faith Hall of Fame talks about though through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God, so the things that were made are things that don't appear, because the elders had a good report. Score. I'm going to go faster, Spence. Come on. Hey, folks, this is a little bit of biblical training today, okay? Bear with me. By faith, Abel did something. By faith, Enoch did something. By faith, others did something. By faith, it's impossible to please God, for he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh, and by the way, by faith, Noah built an ark. Oh, and by faith, Abraham was called into a place. And by faith, he went to a promised land and looked for a city he's filled and make them there. And through faith, Sarah received strength and sprang even one as good as dead. These all died not having received the promise, but having seen them. See, some of you, some of us are trailblazers. Quit waiting for the parade. Make a parade. We're waiting for one to come marching by. Keep going. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. 16, but now their desire for a better country, that is a heavenly, where God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he's tried, he sacrificed his own daggone son, counting for God was able to raise him up. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of his sons. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born. By faith, Moses, when he was come the years, he refused to call the son of God, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. See, Moses didn't keep his mouth shut. He went to Pharaoh and said, I don't want to die, but I ain't going to put up with this anymore. Somebody think I'm making this up? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to sit in his house and watch Franklin Graham on TV. Esteeming their approach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho. Folks, these were all strongholds that Christ's people destroyed. By faith, walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. So he says, then what else should I say? Because there ain't time to tell about Randy and Jack, and Paul and Vinny and James, who what? Through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Who did? People, we don't even know who they are. They don't even know who they are. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others, notice, no name, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, not afraid of the enemy that they might obtain a better resurrection. And still others, Betty, there was another pile of them. Betty had cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah, moreover, they were thrown in jail. And then when they were thrown, these were God's people, by the way. These are God's people. God's got a wonderful plan for your life. They were stoned. They were cut in half, sawn asunder. They had to make up two. Those are made up words. Never heard anybody being sawn. These are God's people facing evil. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. Who were, Betty? Can you name some of them for me, Betty? No, you can't name any of them. Why? Because they didn't tell us who they are.
Isaiah.
They wandered about in sheepskin and goat skins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, and watching TV fakes on TV. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. In other words, they had to run for their lives for serving the Lord. And these all, who we don't know who they are. They don't even tell us who they are. Having attained a good report through faith, didn't receive the promise. Are you kidding me? They did all of this and didn't receive the promise? What was the promise? Everlasting life. But they couldn't receive the promise because why? They're waiting on us. They, without us, should not be made perfect. It's tough to swallow, isn't it? Cowardly Christians, cowardly Christianity. The devil comes in the church and the men run and hide. Because why? None of them wanted to go to jail. They got car payments. I'm not done, but I know Dale's busting. Come on in, Dale.
Well, Coach, when we read the breakdown of this Hebrews that Paul was saying, and the unnamed, the only reason we know their name is because we now have this thing called the Bible and the collection. But what he was really saying, look, these prophets of old and the minor prophets that we read about and that we praise, but when you go into Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we have not even strived unto the shedding of our blood for not sinning. In other words, we praise them who were sawn in half. That was Isaiah. I just want to let you know that we praise those that were thrown in prison. That was Jeremiah, the prophet that was thrown in prison. See, they were despised in their day, Coach. They really were, because they had the word of God and the spirit of the Lord was on them, and they were preaching to the people for repentance, and they hated them. They were hated in their day, but because now we have this collection called the Bible, we praise them, Coach, but they were despised. You know what? They did not see the promise. They didn't get to see Jesus in the resurrection. But guess what? When Jesus led captives free, you want to know who he led free? These folks.
He sure did. Amen. Hey, look, I'm not going to say that. Stay with me. Am I doing okay? I don't care if I am. We all need this, okay? Pull up for me number four. Did anybody name the principalities in the Bible? Just thought, that's a little quiz for you. All of you been in church 50 years, 60 years. Could you name the principalities, list of them in the Bible? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Right? Rulers of darkness of this age. Scroll down there. I think it's Ephesians 6:12. Yeah, pull that down right there. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers. Hang on. Aren't the rulers flesh and blood? Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers. What? The rulers aren't flesh and blood? No, because we're living a physical life controlled by the spirit world. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. What? Yes! Can't you see the devil's kids loose in Minnesota? We talked to yesterday we were on the show with Dane, and he told us, most of my friends, they're not for this. They've welcomed in demons. And we're making it political. And some freak gets shot and killed, and we're all supposed to be, why? Did you see the second video of the day before where they found him spitting on cops? Did you guys see that? The day before? I'm not going to play that now. Okay, so hang on. So I'm going to run through this real quickly. Hey, you guys ever do homework? Do you ever do homework? Do you ever, when I present something like this, do you ever later on go back and read some of these links? Ever go back and read them? Well, you need to. Okay, so principle. Raise your hand if you've been taught this in church. It's about spiritual. See, they say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. They don't tell us what they are. They just say it's not carnal. In other words, don't go stand out there and hold a sign. That's carnal. Don't go do that. Don't do that. So the Bible in the heavenly realms. Bible teaches this, the spirit rulers that control certain areas and territories. That's the heavenly realm. Hey, friends, I don't want to make you upset. There's a demon over Minnesota right now. There's a demon. There's more than one. They exercise power and authority over spiritual matters. And they influence events and situations in the physical world in which we live. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Hey, folks, there's a man behind the curtain. Those people out on the street are profoundly lost and demon, if not possessed, at least oppressed. Does the church even have one answer for it? Hell no. They come right in church to disrupt the church service. And I suppose all the people begin to tell them how much Jesus loves them and all that kind of stuff because they don't want to say, okay, Bible verses about their influence. There are many Bible verses. Huh? Ephesians 6. I'm not going to read them all. Do your own homework. First indicates that principalities are evil spiritual forces. It warns that our struggles against these unseen rulers, not humans. It warns, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. But what's a principality? Satan is a ruler of the principalities. He is a powerful evil spirit that controls other bad spirits. Friends, if you don't understand that we pray to God that he will send his angels, his ministering angels, on the behalf of the children of salvation, don't you understand there's an opponent? Don't you understand there's the Green Bay Packers against the Browns? Don't you understand that? That they're using the same weaponry. So he's the enemy of God and God's people, and he tries to tempt people to sin and do wrong things, like take the Bible out of school. The Bible mentions different types of evil spirits. Demons are bad spirits that can control people's minds and bodies. Say that again. Demons are bad spirits that can control people's minds and bodies. unclean spirits are mentioned as causing sickness and problems. Could it be a lot of you are fighting stuff because of your spiritual life? Evil spirits are talked about as influencing people to do bad things. I hate to be redundant. Last sermon you heard on this in your church? Last one, huh? So how do they oppose God's people? Well, they try to deceive people and lead them away from God. You're born that way. You're born that way. It's okay, right? Huh? Yeah. Go ahead and they can cause fear, doubt, and discouragement. Who? These evil spirits. These evil spirits. They cause fear, doubt, lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. They want to stop people from believing in Jesus and obeying God. They're playing a football game. One team's trying to score a touchdown, and the other team's trying to keep it from happening. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's acting like one, as one. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. This verse warns us to be on guard against Satan's attacks. It describes him as a hungry lion looking for someone to harm. Huh, folks, as more and more information comes out about Tim Walz and what's going on in Minnesota, it's the devil. It's the freaking devil. Does the church recognize that? No. Tim Walz made how many trips to China? Do you know that? China being a spiritual, oh yeah, that'd be a spiritual demon, that's for sure. Be sober, be vigilant, because the adversary of the devil, like a roaring lion, this verse warns us, keep be on guard against Satan's attacks. Describes him as hungry lion looking for Betty. It's a hungry lion looking for Paul. Yeah, he's really hungry, looking for Vinny. Yeah. So where are these principalities under Satan's rule? Well, God's principalities, good principalities, are ruled by God. Scroll down, Spence. Wake up in there. There you go. I'm not wasting your time. Am I wasting anybody's time out there? You guys that know all this stuff, I assume, huh? Good principalities are ruled by God. They're part of God's heavenly kingdom and army. They carry out God's will and do his work. They fight against the evil principalities and demons. It's a war. Angels are as principality leaders. The Bible mentions specific archangels who lead groups of angels. Scroll down. Michael is described as one of the chief princes. He's the archangel who leads God's angelic armies. By the way, not just in Revelation. It's mentioned in Revelation. He's doing that right now. Gabriel's another archangel who serves as God's messenger. Their role in spiritual warfare? Well, the good angelic principalities are engaged in spiritual battles. They struggle against evil spirits for darkness. They protect and guard believers from demonic attacks. They provide spiritual strength to those who follow God. For by him, all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Wake the hell up!
Boom.
Sorry if I said hell. I was just giving you an address. Bible teaches that Jesus Christ has power and authority over every one of them, good and bad. Through him, believers can have victory in spiritual battles. So Christ's victory over evil principalities, when Jesus died on the cross, he rose again, defeated Satan. And what did he say? It's finished. It's finished. What was finished? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. It's finished. I did it. I destroyed the works of the devil. So when he died, he got victory over evil principles. He broke the power of sin and death that the devil had over people. He disarmed their evil principalities and made show them openly. And he is now seated in heaven, far above all principalities and powers. He is King of Kings, even though he's not allowed to be mentioned in your child's school. So how can believers stand against him? Because of Christ's victories, those who believe in him can resist and overcome evil spiritual forces. They have authority in Jesus' name. Huh? Go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we have the authority to stand against the devil's schemes. So when they come breaking into our church, we ought to be knocking them down. Sorry. They can use spiritual weapons like prayer, faith, and God's word to fight back. They do not need to fear because Christ is always with them. And then some relevant Bible principles. This verse, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Principalities over nations and territories. Bible indicates that there are principalities that influence over specific geographical regions, nations, and people groups. Muslim, Islam, Minnesota. In Daniel 10, an angel mentions the prince of the kingdom of Persia. What? Is there a prince of the kingdom of Mogadishu? Is there a prince of the kingdom of Minnesota? Book of Ephesians talks about principalities and powers in heavenly places. The territory principle appear to exercise control and impact over certain areas. Folks, we need to take spiritual authority over what's going on in Minnesota. It's good we can send in the government, but that ain't the answer. Because our battle is a spiritual one. These are demon, oppressed, and possessed people. Okay? So the territory principalities appear to control and exercise by why they influence cultures, religions, and spiritual climate of those territories. They can oppose or hinder the spread of the gospel in those regions. They likely assign other evil spirits under their command to specific locations. In other words, the devil has a team. Various books in the Bible provide examples of territorial principalities. In Daniel 10, it was the prince of Persia. In Revelation 2:13, Satan's throne. The gods are worshipped by pagan nations like Philistia and Moab and Mogadishu. Are there ranks upon principality? You guys ever heard this in your church? Anybody ever heard this in your church? No, Jesus wants to love you and he loves everybody. He wants to bless you and give you a good job. Bible various terms describe Ephesians, calls them rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces of evil. Colossians says they're thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. These different titles might suggest higher and lower positions in the spiritual realm. What are we fighting with? Elders, pastors, apostles. Well, those are the ones that are supposed to be leading our war, and they're not. They're not even teaching the people about the war. And they're watching people's families get destroyed because they don't have any idea what's going on. You want your joy stolen? Have your kid do something stupid and get caught. Higher and lower principalities. Satan's portrayed as the highest evil power, the ruler of this world. Beneath him could be high-ranking principalities over nations or over regions. The prince of Persia. And then lower-level principalities and demons might be under their command and control. What? Yeah, the prince of Persia has people under him? Well, yeah. Bible scholars have different views on this. Some believe the various terms for spiritual powers do not indicate ranks and levels. Others think the terms are interchangeably, don't necessarily show a hierarchy. Ultimately, the Bible doesn't give a clear, detailed picture of a spiritual org chart. But folks, think about the Cleveland Browns, who you don't care, who just fired their coach. So they have an owner, they have a general manager, they have a director of player personnel, they have a coach, they have an offensive coordinator and a defense coordinator. It's a structure. It's a structure. And so what did? Did they fire the owner? No, they can't fire the owner. So they went up high up food chain as they could and said, well, let's get rid of the coach. Boom. Nobody above him screwed up. Let's just get rid of him. Browns don't have a quarterback. Haven't had one ever since they let Baker Mayfield get away. They don't have one. How do you play? How does a coach coach without a quarterback? Can you help me out? Okay, hang on. Principalities are unseen spiritual forces. I always need reinforcement. Am I doing okay here? You guys want me to shut up so you can come in and talk? Am I doing okay here? Because, folks, this stuff is eating your life up. It's destroying your family. It's destroying your community. It's destroying our country. And we will not recognize what's going on.
Keep going.
I will. Thank you. Principalities are unseen spiritual forces. Scroll down. Well, principalities are spiritual beings. What? Yeah. You ever heard of the Holy Spirit? Heard of him? We are a spirit. We live in a body. We possess a soul. That's why the battle is spiritual. Principalities as invisible powers. You ready? They operate in the unseen spiritual realm all around us, trying to distract your husband, trying to distract you with pornography. They're putting thoughts in your brain. That's why the Bible says to take captive every thought. Because if you take captive every thought, you have a weapon against it. Because the weapons of your warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down that thought. Take captive every thought. Yet their impact can be witnessed in the natural world. That guy up in Minnesota, he was a far left demon possessed, and he thought, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show him. I'm going to go out there and show him. And he showed up and he went out there and showed him. It cost him his life. And then they want to blame everybody else. Principalities exercise control and authority over physical matters. That guy could not go. He was totally consumed. So their impact on the physical world, they may influence world events, governments, and human leaders. That's why I tell you Donald Trump's God's man. Maybe not a man of God, but he's being directed. Oh, yes, he is. They could cause natural disasters, sickness, suffering. What? A spirit of the weather? So it says natural disasters. They try to promote sin, idolatry, and opposition to God's truth. Okay, so I'm about done here. Recognize the activity biblically. Spiritual forces hindered God's message in the book of Daniel. Jesus encountered demons who had afflicted people's minds and bodies. He cast them out. Idols worshipped by nature were linked to spiritual principalities. That's why staking is having such an effect, because it's a spiritual antenna.
Boom.
In conclusion, the Bible reveals the existence of principalities as powerful spiritual forces that play a significant role in the unseen realm. These rulers and authorities can be both good and evil, some serving God and others following Satan. The evil principalities led by the devil seek to oppose God's people and hinder the spread of his kingdom. They exercise influence over nations, territories, the affairs of mankind. However, the Bible assures us that through Christ's victory on the cross, believers have been given power and authority over these spiritual forces. We can't fight them if we don't know the real. We don't know how. We think it's Republican, Democrat. While the exact hierarchy and ranking of principalities may not be clearly defined in Scripture, it's evident that they are subject to God's ultimate power and will. And as Christians, we're called to be aware of their reality, to resist their schemes through faith, and to rely on the spiritual armor and resources provided to us by God. Man. Okay, I got to look, a little bit of teaching here, okay? Pull up number five. I'm going to open it up after this. I got more. Number five. You guys know this? I didn't know this. You know, ever heard of the seven princes of hell? Do you get that taught in your church? In your evangelifish church with the smoke machines and the lights, do you get taught about the seven princes of hell? Well, scroll down here real quick. We'll see who they are. Cool, keep going. They'll pop up here. Number one, here are the seven princes. There it is. Princes of hell. Do you ever know this? Lucifer, and his deadly sin is pride. Then there's Mammon. It's a prince. It's a prince of hell, and his is greed. We call him the seven deadly sins, don't we? And he seduces men with material wealth and riches. By the way, gold's going through the moon, silver's falling. Then there's Asmodeus. He's the prince of lust. He drives individuals towards carnal urges, forbidden desires. Gone to church your whole life and don't know this. I'm talking about me. Then there's Leviathan. He's envy. and Beelzebub, gluttony, never get enough, endless consumption and overindulgence. And there's Satan. He's one of the princes of what? He's wrath. Satan incites anger, hatred, and vengeance. And then Belphegor, laziness. That's who we're wrestling against. And they all have minions. Lucifer is the god of pride, and he teaches others how to influence you and I. And the truth of it is, many of you, many of us get angry when somebody corrects us because it's pride. All right, come on in. I got more. Come on in.
Keep going,
says, keep going. Want me to keep going? Keep going? Okay, I'll keep going. I'll keep going. Is it any wonder we're getting our asses kicked? See, most of you got mad because I said asses. You don't get mad that you're teaching homosexuals to your grandchildren. You get mad that I said ass. Misplaced indignation. Misplaced. Coach, you don't talk like a Christian. No, but act like one. Whatever that means. By the way, my Christianity ain't an act. Maybe yours is. Mine didn't. Come on, Randy. I was just getting ready to go to another one. Go ahead.
Keep going, Coach. But what, could we read, Coach? Could you pull up Ephesians 6:12 in the complete Jewish Bible?
Wow, I mean, never heard of that.
It's a good version. Yeah.
Okay,
it's a good version. Complete Jewish Bible Gateway. CJV.
Just go to Bible Gateway, Spencer. Go to Bible Gateway.
I think it would shed a little out of light, Coach, on what you're saying, because okay. It's.
And what's the version? The King, right down here, it says.
It's not what King version, James, Andy? Complete Jewish version. CJV. Mm-hmm. Jewish Bible.
Okay, cool. I didn't. And then put okay. in Ephesians what?
Ephesians 6:12.
Okay. What's it say? For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, the authorities, and the cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Boy, that's illustrative.
See how it makes it clear, Coach, that it and I like what David said in the chat. We have to learn we're not fighting against people. I say this all the time.
The devil uses people, Randy. The devil uses people.
We have to free them of the demonic influence, Coach. And that sometimes that's quickly but sometimes it takes years. But that's who we are. We have the authority in Christ to be superior in a way. I don't want to sound arrogant, but we are superior over that. God has given us the authority and the tools to do it. And that's what you're trying to teach us today, Coach. If we will take those tools and we will become the sons of God, we can actually remove them from the dark places they're sitting in and take us into that void and replace it. And that's the whole fight. That's why I say we will win if we will only go in there and do the work.
Amen.
Amen, Coach. Keep going.
Amen. Okay, you ready? You sitting down, folks? Pull up... I got to get the right one here. Pull up number two. It's a little video. God, I have 44 minutes already. Huh? How about this? What's the title of this? Seminary-trained pastors are not wartime pastors. Huh? I'm going to play the whole thing. Just give you a little taste of it. Put it at a 1.5 speed. I don't think I said put a time frame on. Go ahead.
Darkness has covered the land again. Not the kind born from the turning of the sun, but the kind that seeps from within men. A silence that has forgotten prayer. A strength that has bowed to comfort. A courage that has been traded for approval. The towers of Babylon rise in every city, their glass faces reflecting men who no longer know their names. They scroll through illusion while their spirits starve. Their swords rust in the sheath. Their armor lies buried beneath convenience. And the word that once burned on their tongues is now a whisper drowned by noise. The enemy does not come with horns or fire. He comes softly, through apathy, through distraction, through pride disguised as peace. He says, "Rest now, warrior. The war is old. Let others fight." And so men sleep, while their sons forget how to kneel, their daughters forget the sacred worth of purity, and their nations bleed under banners that no longer bear the cross. Do you not feel it? The trembling beneath the soil, the call that shakes the bones of the faithful. For the Lord is gathering his remnant again, the last watchman, the sons who will not run when the trumpet sounds. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8. And still that same question thunders across the ages. Who will go? Who will rise when others bow? Who will stand in the breach while the world mocks their faith? Who will take up the armor not of flesh, but of fire and of truth? This is the hour of the opening strike. So answer now, man of dust and breath. Will you sleep with the world or wake with the chosen? For the Lord's army is not built on comfort. It is forged in caves, on knees bruised in the dark, under the weight of prayers no one hears but heaven. The Templars of old did not wait for permission. They were bound by vow, not applause. They carried the cross on their chest and the word like a blade between their ribs. Their code was carved not in parchment, but in obedience. They walked through nations of fire, not seeking death, but fearing no part of it, for they knew that death itself bends to the one who conquered the grave. And so must you, for the war has never ended. Only the armor has changed. The field is now the mind. The siege is upon the heart, and the weapon is no longer iron, but conviction. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 13. To stand, that single command divides the faithful from the fallen. Do not seek victory in the applause of the weak. Seek endurance in the silence of the strong. For when you kneel in secret, heaven hears. When you fall and rise again, hell trembles. Every man will one day stand before the king, his wealth forgotten, his titles dust. Only his faith will remain, a sword weighed in divine balance. You are called to be that sword, tempered, tested, true. Not by your own merit, but by his refining fire, the same fire that burned in the bush, the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel, the same fire that forged the prophets into iron. And so the voice calls you now, not to kill, but to conquer the corruption within, not to build temples of stone, but of spirit. For the modern Templar is not a soldier of empire, but of eternity. He rides no horse, he carries no banner, he moves unseen, armored in prayer, marching through cities of sin like salt through decay. He speaks when others curse, he endures when others fall, he forgives when vengeance burns. And though the world may never know his name, heaven records every step. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death. Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11. This is the creed of the new brotherhood. To live as though eternity watches every motion. To fight unseen battles and still give thanks. To bear the cross with silence and to bleed with purpose. So stand up, son of dust. You have been chosen for the final watch. The night is long, but the dawn is written. The question remains, and it will burn through your sleep until you answer it. Will you become what you were made to be? A living temple, a shield of faith, a modern Templar. The road does not grow easier once you rise. The light you carry begins to expose everything false within you. Every compromise you once called peace, every indulgence you once named freedom. For obedience is not comfort, it is crucifixion. And every man who truly follows Christ must one day face Gethsemane within his own heart. There, beneath the weight of unseen agony, you will feel what the Son felt when he said, "Not my will, but yours be done." That is the moment the sword enters the soul, the moment where self must die for the spirit to live. You will not be applauded for this. No one will see the blood that falls in prayer, but heaven counts every drop. For the true warrior of faith is not refined in triumph, but in the furnace of silence. I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold tried. Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 9. The modern Templar must walk through that fire willingly. The world will call it madness. But madness is what faith looks like to the faithless. They will say, "You are wasting your life." They cannot see that you are trading dust for glory. When you feel the heat rise, do not flee, for this is the second strike. What remains in you that still resists the flame? Lay it down. Your pride, your anger, your thirst to be seen. The fire does not come to destroy, but to purify. To burn away the dross until only steel remains. Until your soul reflects the image of the one who made it. For it is not the sword that gives the knight his worth. It is the hand that forged it. And if the Maker must strike you again and again upon the anvil of trial, then let him strike. For every blow from heaven is mercy in disguise. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction, For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. This is how God trains his soldiers, through delay, through denial, through desert silence. You will wander in wastelands of unanswered prayer, feel the thirst of the prophet, the loneliness of David hiding in Adullam, the ache of Jeremiah weeping over a city that will not repent. And you will think, has he forgotten me? But the Lord never forgets his own. He breaks you to reveal what cannot be broken. He empties you to fill you with what cannot be taken. He silences you to teach you a language only heaven understands. The world fears this process. They flee the furnace. They medicate the ache. They call their comfort balance and their silence peace. But you were not called to balance. You were called to obedience. There will come a night when even prayer feels like ash in your mouth. You will kneel and hear nothing. You will cry and feel no answer. But that silence, that void, is the Master's forge. It is there that faith becomes more than belief. It becomes endurance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Do not wait for signs. Do not chase emotion. The fire that burns without smoke is the fire of the Spirit, unseen, yet unquenchable. Remember this. Every trial you endure becomes a wall rebuilt in Zion. Every tear, a stone laid in the temple of your soul. Every unseen act of obedience, a banner raised before the throne. So stand firm in the furnace, modern Templar. Let the heat forge your silence into strength, your pain into praise, your fear into faith. And when the hammer falls again, when the world mocks your devotion, when even your brothers turn away, stand. For one day you will emerge from the flame clothed in light, and the scars that shame you now will shine like armor before the King. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. This is the vow of the Templar, to endure purification without bitterness, to bleed without hatred.
All right, Spencer, put that in the chat. You can finish watching it in the chat. Friends, let me ask you something. Is your church creating strong men? Is your church creating strong men? I think we all know the answer to that, don't we? We all know the answer. They're teaching your children in school to be a homosexual. It's okay. They're teaching your children in school there is no God, that right and wrong are an opinion, and that you are not the judge. They're teaching that in your school. While you go to your Sunday school and your kids draw pictures of the ark. Huh? That's where we are. It's where we are. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. If they can just get you to compromise, it's all just a little bit. Coach, look, I've heard it in my own family. Uncle Dave, look, can you just not talk about that at the party? Can you just not talk about that at the party, Uncle Dave? We love you, Uncle Dave. We don't want to hear that at the party, Uncle Dave. Yes or no? Betty, can you talk about something else, Betty? Why are you always talking about? Come on, Betty. Betty, you used to be so fun to be around. You used to be so sweet. Betty, gee, yes or no? Yes or no? I'm so sick of it. Soft, wimpy Christian. They break into the homo, they break into the church, and men stood there and watched it. Comfort. Yep. That's right. We serve a God of comfort. Come on in, Martin. Tell us your story, not your life story here. Come on.
You know me so well, Coach Dave Dobemar. Thank you. Thank you, good sir. Thank you for cutting between the Christian man and the disciple of Christ man. I wrote in the chat, Coach Dave, that if we do not live by the scriptures, which is the 66 books written, hold on, sir, right here, every Bible should be read, even if it's this color. You can't understand the things that you're talking about, Dave. Bottom line, you don't know how to put on the armor of God. If you don't read
at least start reading this. Sir, I was in a church just this past Sunday. And you know what they're doing? I found out they are suing. That's right, Coach Dave. They are suing a man because he went to the business meeting and he questioned their numbers because he himself is a businessman. He owned a multi-million dollar company and he knows how to look at ledgers and all things money. They, long story short, they are now suing him. That's the church for you today, Coach Dave. Thank you, sir. Amen.
Okay, so we know this. Pull up Matthew chapter 5. It says, no other hands up. It's just kind of been me all day, but I guess it's okay. I'll get to you, James. Hang on. Matthew chapter 5. And bear with me here a second, okay? And seeing the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. Folks, he saw the big popular crowd. Jesus did. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He saw the big crowd and he went away from them. Do you see this? And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. So get me away from the popular crowd. And when he got up there, then his disciples came to him. Folks, the Sermon on the Mount was not delivered to all the people that they show you, the big crowd down below. It was delivered to his disciples. He went up to the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to, and he opened his mouth and he taught them. Didn't teach all the people that they show us in those drawings. And here's what he told them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Because they're going to inherit. Meek, by the way, means controlled, focused, controlled. It's like a stallion with a bridle. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not the peacekeepers. Not the peacekeepers. They're not the same. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Can I stop a minute? That'd be me. Yeah. I was persecuted for righteousness' sake. And mine's the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven came within me. Blessed are you, Betty. Blessed are you when religious folks revile you. And people on the elder board persecute you. And they say you're out of line and you shouldn't be talking about that. And they say all men are against you falsely because you're standing up for me. Hey, Betty, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Because, dude, is there ever a reward for you in heaven? Because I'm telling you, they persecuted every prophet that came before you. You are the sugar of the earth. But if the sugar loses its savor and sounds like it's mean, how will the sugar ever be sugar again? So shut up and quit talking about that stuff because we're sugar of the earth. Good for nothing to cast out and trodden on for the men. You're the light of the world. Why do you hide it? Why do you hide it? Let your light so shine before men that they're going to hate you, but they're going to glorify your Father, which is heaven. Is this preached in your church? Folks, is this preached in your church? See, we're at war, but we're not in war. Or no, we're in a war, but whatever, however you want to do it. The spiritual, can't you see the destruction of America going on in Minnesota? And it's happening in Columbus, Ohio. Can't you see it? Can't you see the spiritual opposition against Christ and all he stands for? Let me tell you something. Multiculturalism is not of God. Thanks for letting me rant on today. Thanks for being so kind to my wife. See you tomorrow.